Church, why don't we worship together here in this place?
None that they had break out of the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled dead, where is your sting? The angel roared for Christ the
sing those exact church songs that you just heard and sang along with this morning. I know that those songs right there, Living Hope, Because He Lives, Oh Praise the Name, and Forever, those are all songs, that we sing in church together as a congregation. And I got to tell you, man, it's pretty wonderful. Somebody said, where is Jeremy? It's 10 after, and I still don't have him on. Somebody please help Jennifer, because we've been on for 10 minutes. First time I've seen this, lifts my heart, says Orchid Flower 123. Well, welcome to Rise Up. We've always got some newcomers coming in here, which is kind of like church. I'll tell you, if you are a newcomer, please fill out the card in the pew next to you or in front of you, right? That's what we say in church, and let us know, that you're new here. I love the fact that when we have somebody new come in, they are, you know, they're not afraid to jump in the live chat and say, hey, new here, first time I'm seeing this. I love what I'm seeing already. Well, we love to have you here. C. Gannon says, I love your hat, Jeremy, Forgiven. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Rumble and Share says, Jay Gizme. Good morning to you, Patty. Good morning, Kittenhead. Good morning to you. We've asked, Marianne has asked us for prayers as her family is going through a tough time with a cancer diagnosis right now, a rare cancer diagnosis. So please keep her and her family in your prayers. Ladies and gentlemen, prayers work. We know this. It happens all the time. Is that a new hat? Nope, it isn't. This is an older hat, but I decided it was a good day to wear it. Yes, old good great hymns. I know a lot of you probably have those same songs going on in your church, and they're just good familiar church, congregational fellowship, spiritual, wonderful songs that you can rest assured whether you go to any church, any normal church anyway, around the nation, you're probably going to hear those songs or different variations of those songs. Jennifer says, I refreshed and he came on the screen. Amazing. Jennifer, thank you for being here. Make sure you guys share and rumble. Kara Moore is in the building, says, good morning, Jeremy and Eli. Patty says, good morning from Texas. Diana 717 says, I'm here. Don't start without me. Don't worry, we haven't yet. I used to sign those hymnals growing up, says Ashley. Boy, that would be cool. I would love to see that someday. That is really cool. Send a video to the LFA producer Facebook page of you doing sign for those hymns if you still remember it, if you still remember how to do it, because that would be a cool thing to show here on Rise Up. Patriotic Patty is in the building. How are you? And E. Fitch, hello. Tanya says, good morning from Cooksville, Illinois. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is probably a perfect time. You know, I've talked about it a few times. Orchid says, I live in England. I'm sorry. I'm so far away, but feeling the love. Well, you know what? God and the spirit of Jesus connects our hearts throughout the entire universe, right? So anyway, I've told you guys a couple times, just through, you know, simple, quick conversation. But as I see people in here from the Midwest, where I'm originally from, I do want to tell you guys that in June, my family and I are planning to move back to the Midwest for another chapter of our lives. And the catalyst, the reason for doing this, the jump-off reasoning for doing this was my father's health. Now, I'm going to be here through my mother's recovery of and her chemo, or not chemo treatments, radiation treatments that she's doing for her cancer issues right now. But then my family and I in June have plans on moving back to the Midwest so that our children can finish out school and start their adult lives, our teenage children anyway, in a very wonderful school system out there, close to my family, close to my dad. They're going to meet their cousins and grandmas and aunts and uncles for the first time, and we're all pretty excited about it. So Eli will stay right here. We'll keep this New Hampshire studio here because I need to come back quite a bit. I'll still be back here in New Hampshire probably 30% of the time. So this studio will stay intact. Eli will continue to work from this studio. I will have another newer studio out there where we work together, kind of like Frankie and Mike did for quite some time. And we're just going to bring Christianity to our family in the Midwest. Mom is not moving. Mom's staying here. But again, Eli will be here every day. And my mom just lives in the apartment attached to this building. And I will be back here, like I said, probably once every 30 to 45 days for a few days working out of this studio. So again, no, ladies and gentlemen, my mom does not want to move back to the Midwest where she is from. But our entire family is out there, right? So gonna be back. And you know what KC2022 Eli just said? The Midwest welcomes you back with open arms. Remember that story I told you yesterday? There's nothing like that Midwest charm. You know what I mean? There's nothing like that Midwest charm. So I can't wait to get back. We're moving to Iowa, as a matter of fact. So pretty incredible. And, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. I guess LFA TV is only going to grow. But here's the thing. You want to know what's really funny about this, guys? And the reason I'm telling you guys, before I tell the LFA, Live from America audience, is because of this. We are only going to be 6 hours from the Ark. And remember what our plans were 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, here on Rise Up. Remember what our plans were as a God-fearing, God-loving family. And that is having a massive reunion at the Ark. Baptisms, singing for God, having a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful worship session together, and we're only going to be 6 hours from the Ark. So you tell me God ain't changing lives. You tell me God ain't on the move. And guess what else? My family out there, low-hanging fruit. They don't not believe in God, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And guess who's coming home, baby? Guess who's coming home? Guess who's bringing Jesus back to my family in the Midwest? That's right, ladies and gentlemen, me and my family. So we are moving back to the land of milk and honey, as I like to say. We're moving back to that great farm, family-friendly Midwest. Iowa is going to be our landing spot. So not only are we making a big move, but LFA TV is also expanding, because now we'll have a studio here, a studio in New York, and a studio in the Midwest. And we're just going to get bigger and bigger. God at the center of it, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that. Bobby says, oh, I'm in Knoxville, Iowa. How do the kids feel about it? Four of the five are ecstatic. Four of the five are absolutely ecstatic. One is not so much, but you know what? It is what it is. So we'll be out there in Iowa here come June, and I just wanted to drop that news on all of you now. So today's show, Live and Let Love. Annette, not only does Julie Green live in Iowa too, but Julie Green and I will be living in the same exact county. Tell me God ain't on the move. Tell me God is not bringing his people together. You know what I'm saying? We're in a spiritual war here, ladies and gentlemen, and God needs to make sure that his warriors, his soldiers are ready and close by. And when I found out that Julie and I are going to be in the same county, well, folks, I understood exactly why God is facilitating this move. This has been months in the making. And, you know, here we are. A lot of planning. We've got children with different families and fathers and mothers. So tell them, just let me, it's a lot, okay? It's a lot. You can't please them all. That's exactly right. So excited for you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. What about Eli? He'll be working right here in this studio. We'll still be connected just like we are right now. It'll look no different for you guys. Because of technology. It's pretty great. Close to Julie Green. Maybe y'all can do a show together. Maybe. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Okay? Yes, we are selling our home here in New Hampshire. Yes, we are. Yep. How are the other parents handling the move? Pretty good. Better than I expected anyway. Does your ex agree for you to take the kids? She doesn't really have a choice because they're of age to make sure that they want to make their own decision. And my oldest daughter is deciding to stay here. And my son is going with me. He wants to play professional soccer. And there is a league out there that he can play where he can move up through the ranks to play professional soccer as one. Eli is going to be here every day. We're going to see each other every day, all day. We're going to be connected through video from morning until night. So there'll be no missing anybody. How far away is the new studio from the old studio? Several hundred miles. Yeah, 1,200. Yep. Jeremy, my share button doesn't work anymore. That's okay. Grab the link and share it that way. That's the best way to do it. Gotta keep Eli. He's part of the family too. Again, never said anything about keeping Eli. Never once. He's staying right here. Congratulations, Jeremy and Sabrina. Thank you, Veronica. We appreciate that very much. And yeah, I don't see River Rat in the chat today. This might be the first day, but that's okay. You can't expect somebody to be here every day, right? All right, Live and Let Love. What a great show I have for you today. Live and Let Love. I want to go to prayer because we spent a lot of the morning now talking about this, the move and everything. God chick, nope. The Granite State, not no more. Nope. The studio's staying right here. Again, I'll be back here in this studio 30% of the time. So I'll be working right back out of this studio pretty much once every 45 days or so. Thank you very much, Mikep. We appreciate that. Live and let love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's get into this. Live and let love conversation, okay? All right. Oh, Kittenhead, thank you so very much. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we acknowledge the reason for us to even be here with you today is love. And as we talked about this the other day, the Holy Spirit definitely directed me to expand on this conversation of love. 2 days ago on Rise Up, we talked about the meaning for life and that scientists spend billions of dollars every year, and theologists and all these other people spend all this time trying to find the reason for life, why we're here. And the answer to that question has always been a four-letter word called love. And today I want to really, really expand on that. I really want to talk about how we can receive love more and give love more by understanding love more. And Lord, today I pray that you can help guide me through this conversation so that people can understand the real meaning of the word love, so that maybe, just maybe, it'll help them apply it a little bit more in their lives, both with receiving and with giving. So Lord, help us today. Help us walk through this. And Lord, we pray for all of those folks asking for prayers for their family, whether it be health issues, which there are a lot of, mental issues, or even physical issues, Lord. And everybody should be concerned with spiritual issues. So Lord, we ask that you navigate, help us navigate through that today. And bless those folks that we're praying for. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is an addition to Live from America. More people, more places. Think of it as another church. Think of it as another a church or another place to spread truth from. Think of it as adding to our already arsenal of truth tellers and soldiers of God in LFA. It's going to be a wonderful experience. The company will grow. God's message will grow. The truth will grow. We will be in more places. We'll be able to do more rallies. We'll be able to do more events because I'll be centrally located as LFA TV. It'll be nothing for me to drive around with the truck and the LFA trailer with all the equipment and cover rallies throughout this campaign season from the summer into the fall. So there's going to be a lot of reasons why this is going to benefit all of us, you, Eli, everyone. And trust me, this was months of prayer and letting God tell us what to do. We really didn't plan much until it came time to plan. So it's going to be truly wonderful. And we're going to talk today a lot about love. Love, love, love. Oh, and by the way, can I just say this? Because you want to talk about love. Katie63 just said excited for you, Jeremy. And I appreciate that. Especially how close we're going to be to the arc for what we're planning for next summer. But on top of that, when we decided that this was going to happen, do you know that most people that we know, I'd say 99% of the people that we know that are not Christian, that do not have a relationship with Jesus, when we told them that we had these plans and we had a ton of reasons why we were doing this, we weren't just doing it because we wanted to, nobody said congratulations, pretty much. 99% of the people that we know that were not Christians didn't say congratulations, didn't say, wow, wonderful, didn't say excited for you, didn't say, well, is there anything we can help you with? Didn't support. 99.9% of the people that we knew had something super negative to say about it. Do you know what everybody in our church and everybody that has a relationship with Jesus said? Same thing you guys are saying in there. Congratulations. Amazing. We're here for you. What do you need? And that just shows you the difference, right? That shows love as opposed to no love. Because love knows no boundaries, right? Love will tell you, I'm happy for you. Even if it means I don't get to see you as much, I am so wholeheartedly happy for you. Man, I hope I still get to see you. I hope we still get to have a relationship that isn't just on the phone or something like that or online. And the only people we got that from was from people who understand the loving relationship between God and them. And it didn't make me mad at all. It actually didn't even make me upset. What it made me was sad. Not for me, for them. Like I cannot imagine telling somebody or having somebody that I know tell me a decision that their family has made that they are excited or happy about and me going, well, sucks for me. Good for you, I guess. Have fun. You know what I mean? So that's a good conversation piece when we're talking about love and not love, right? Real love, as opposed to not embracing real love. So let's get into that right now, all right? You are right. It will no longer be just live from the Granite State. Nope, it'll be live from both the Granite State. And what's Iowa? The Cornfield State? I don't even know what Iowa is even called. Actually, I grew up in that region in Illinois. I don't even know what Iowa is considered. Thank you, Al and Carol Morris. Appreciate that. God bless you. So we'll be broadcasting from both because Eli and I will both be live on the camera, kind of like what we are right now. Like for you guys, you won't know the difference, right? So, all right. What is love? Episode 322. Why was it created? The Bible not only tells us why and what love is, the Bible tells us what God is and why he created creation. Oh, it's called the Farmer's State. Perfect. Live from the Granite and the Farmer's State of America. I like those both. Sounds good. Sounds good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gets even deeper than that. So let's get into today's conversation. And I sent out a verse of the day today, so you might want to open your emails, okay? And open up to 1 John for your Bibles, 4:16. 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16 is going to tell you pretty much everything that you need to know about what love is, why love is here, what God is, and why God created it. Okay? They sound good together. Yes, they do. The Farmer and the Granite State, they sure do. So, if we can get to the verse of the day today, let's get into the ESV version first. And then we'll work our way down to the complete Jewish Bible, which we finish on every single day. Okay? Everybody got your Bibles open? You got your newsletters open? Here we go. The ESV version of 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Thank you, Gracie. I appreciate all of you guys and your great, wonderful, beautiful words. Thank you so very much. So, abide. That means dwells in, lives in. It's where you lay your head. It's where you're comfortable. It is your sanctuary, right? Where you abide. And this says, so we have come to know, and the only reason we've come to know is because God has revealed it to us. He says, come to me, and I will reveal to you a great many things that you do not know. So this says, so you have come to know and to believe that love, the love that God has for us, God is love. Again, God just doesn't have love. God is love. And whoever abides in love, meaning whoever accepts love and whoever receives love and gives love, both accepts, receives, and gives and shares, whoever abides in that, whoever lives that lifestyle, abides in God, and God abides in him. Fruit in the tree, says Chef. Exactly right. Exactly right. And you're 100% right, Diane. The Lord is directing my steps as the head of my household for my family. And I got to tell you what, where we are directed to is going to be massive amounts of love. love that we're not only going to be able to receive from, I have hundreds of family members out there, by the way. Love that we're not only going to be able to receive from family members and a new church and new people, but boy, do we have a lot of love to give to people that actually want to receive it. The problem with where we live right now is that where we live right now, people are rejecting love. They're rejecting God and Christ at such an astronomical rate that it is very, very difficult to even try to share what God has given where we live. Not to say that we're running from that because it's needed here. But what we are going to do is we see where our love that we can give can actually have the maximum effect. And one of our reasons for doing this is that we have hundreds of family members out there who are low-hanging fruit, who are ready to hear the gospel, believe in God, but have no relationship with him. And while we're young and vibrant and full of love, we want to share that with people that we know are going to at least listen. And I am so excited for that. Now let's go to the Geneva version, which is the 1599 Bible. And that says this, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath in us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." Dwelleth and abide, dwell and abide, same difference. "And God in him." Now let's go to the complete Jewish Bible, which says, "Also we have come to know and trust the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in his love remain, dwell, and abide." All great words. "In his love, remain united with God, and God remains united with them." United with them. Same kind of a unification that God wants between man and woman when they marry. Same kind of unification that Jesus will have with his bride, the church, us, the body of Christianity, when Jesus comes back. That's the kind of unification that God wants in love. Now we're going to get deep. Are you ready? Ready for this? New Hampshire's hard ground. You're right. No wonder it's the Granite State. Yep. And like I said, I'll still be here in New Hampshire about 30% of my time broadcasting, living, working, still spreading the gospel here, still coming back to our church here once in a while. We're in a very unique position to where we have a train station right here in this town that we can take a train right from here, right to there. And right from there, right back to here. So, I'm telling you, folks, God's on the move. Now, I'm going to blow your minds here for a minute. You ready for this? What is the number one purpose in life? I'll bring the Rumble chat up. I'd love to see some answers on this. Now, I know you guys are about 45 seconds behind me, okay? Vicky, I think she will, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but you're absolutely right. I think she will too. What is the number one purpose in life? That's a very good question, isn't it? And I love the fact that you guys have so many great things to say for me and my family. It actually encourages us and inspires us. Let's see what you have here. To praise God. Kind of. It's 1,200 miles from where we live right now. Love. To love Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Close. To reproduce. To praise the Lord. To give glory and praise to God. You are all very close to what I'm going to give you for an answer. To worship God. To spread the word. To love and enjoy God. We were made to worship God and to love and serve God. Okay. I think you guys are all correct, but I'm going to take it further. I'm going to take it further. Are you ready for this? Now, this might sound like I am contradicting what you just said. To love and worship Jesus, to accept Jesus as your Savior, to spread the word of God, to all of that, right? That's all great. Those are all great answers. To share the gospel, great answer. But I'm going to go even further than that. Are you ready? The number one purpose in life is to let God love you. That's the number one purpose to life. Is to let God love you. You were made with a free choice. You were made to love the world, love Satan, love God, love angels. God doesn't want to control you, which is why he gave you free choice. God doesn't want to make you love him. God gave you free choice. God's number, your purpose in life is to let God love you. Now we're going to get back to everything you said. How do you let God love you? You abide in his love and you obey his commands. You abide in his love and you obey his commands. And when you abide in God's love and God's love automatically abides in you and you're obeying his commands and you just don't know or memorized his commands, you obey his commands. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to let him love you. From cover to cover in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from front to back, the whole reason that the universe exists, are you ready for this? Are you ready to get deep? Are you ready to cry? Are you ready for your heart to open up? From cover to cover, the entire reason that the universe exists is because God wanted a family. That's it. Think about that. And then you'll understand why the spiritual war is trying to destroy the family nucleus, make fun of it, tell you it's an old, tyrannical, Christian, Catholic way of thinking. No, the entire reason that the universe, not just Earth, that the universe exists is because God wanted a family. Now, he didn't need a family. He wasn't lonely because he has perfect harmony with the Son and the Holy Spirit. The three in one. He has perfect harmony. He didn't need a family because he wasn't lonely. He wanted a family to share that love with and that would let him love them. The Bible says God is love. We just talked about that a little bit ago. God doesn't have love. God is love. So when you think of the word love, when you say to your wife, I love you, what are you saying? Are you just saying I love you because you're supposed to? Are you just saying I love you because you have deep admiration and respect for that person? What is love? What is love if not God? God is love. So if you say to your spouse, I love you, you're speaking God's language. That's not human language. God is not human. God is love. It's the whole reason that creation was even created. So to share that love with a family that would love him back and allow him to love them. It's pretty amazing stuff, folks. And think about this too. Since we're talking about loving your spouse and your wife and your husband, you will not be married in heaven. There is no marriage in heaven. So the time that you have with your husbands and the time that you have with your wives is the only time that you are going to have them in marriage. So make it count, folks. I'm telling you, make it count. You're not married with your spouse in heaven. You're married to Jesus. And Jesus to you. You won't even have the desire to be married in heaven. You're married now. Make it count. And to those who aren't, whose spouses aren't alive anymore, you're still married to them here in earth. You still have their memory. They're still walking around with you. So if you're with them now, love them now. Make it count now. You're not going to be married in heaven, folks. You're married now. Don't look to the future. Look to today. Go home, hug your husband, hug your wife, or when they get home, give them a big hug and say, I really love you. I God love you. Because this is my only time that I'm going to be able to be married to you. And I want to make it count. Right? Again, God doesn't have love. God is love. It's his very essence. It's his character. It's his nature. It's who he is. It's the only reason that there is love in the universe. It's because God created us for it. Think about this, folks. God created us in his image, correct? God created us in his image. So if we're created in God's image, it's the only reason, ready, that we can give love, and it's the only reason that we can accept and receive love. It's because God created us in his image, and if God is love, and we abide in him and he in us, that's how and why we can love. And that's how and why people that don't have a relationship with Christ don't understand or feel or receive or even give real love. They only know how to give, receive, accept, and share what they believe is love from what has been described to them or defined to them from this world, and it's not the same. That love is conditional love. Christian love is unconditional love. Love. So when we talked about this the other day, God reached out to me and said, "You've got to dig deeper on this. You've got to dig deeper on this love topic because you mentioned it the other day." And you mentioned the fact that the only reason that is anything is in existence is because of that four-letter word. Well, that's a powerful statement to make, my friend. That's a powerful statement to make. If you're not going to expand on that and talk a little bit more about it and get deeper, you're going to say, I know something that all the scientists in the world don't know, all the billions of dollars to spend to find out why we're here and what we're here for, this, that, and the other. And here's this guy who is a felon, who didn't go to seminary, who doesn't know, who doesn't teach or doesn't teach officially the word of God to people in some kind of official capacity. And he's going to say, oh, well, I know the meaning. The meaning is love, and it's that simple. It's true. So God said, if you're going to say something that deep, you're going to get out there and you are going to dive deep into it, and you're going to explain what you meant by that. So there you go. Now, Chef said that they would love to see Jeremy in the Midwest heaving hay bales. That would be a hoot. Let me just tell you, I grew up there. So in the summertime, when I was 13 and 14 and 15 in Illinois and in Iowa, when I needed to make money because I didn't have a job yet, or if I needed to make money because I didn't grow up in a family that had money, guess what I was doing in the summer? Detasseling. Does everybody in the Midwest remember growing up and getting loaded on a bus like child labor? Everybody meet at the school. We'll provide your lunch. You don't even have to bring one. And you meet everybody at 6 in the morning and get on that bus, and you get trotted off to some cornfield somewhere that's about 10,000 acres, and you're walking through it like some kind of an army where you all start at one end and you walk through and you're detasseling and the corn is cutting you up. I grew up on dairy farms where we were up at 4 in the morning and we were milking cows and shoveling cow pies. I grew up hay baling. I was on that tractor raking that hay. I was up in the mow. And if you don't call it the mow, then you don't know what heaving hay is really like. I was up in the mow sweating to death, breathing in all of that hay, air, and all those all that stuff that was in the dust that was in the air. Oh yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I know what heaving hay bales is like. Don't I look like I'm from the Midwest? I'm corn fed and thick. I'm thicker than a Snickers, baby. So yeah, I know detasseling, and I know heaving hay bales. I come from the Midwest. Who doesn't? You know what I mean? All right. I'm a city girl. What is that? Well, the mow is where you would be up in the second floor of the barn, and the tractor's outside, and the PTO is running this big, like, escalator thing, and you're putting the hay bales on it, and the hay bales get brought up to the second floor, and you're up there. They only got the kids up there, right, dying because the adults wouldn't do it anymore. So they're pushing the hay bales up on this conveyor belt, and the hay bales are coming in. By the way, you better watch out. You might break your neck. It might fall on your head. And they're dropping down, and you're grabbing them, and you're stacking them into the barn, and it's all the dust is in the air, and you can barely breathe, and it's about 120 degrees. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's the mow, and that is no fun. That is no fun. Yeah, baby. Taking me back to the old days up in here. All right, 1 John, understanding the 66 books of the Bible. Since we read from it today, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. In a world of complexity, people crave simplicity. Boy, ain't that the truth. Ain't that the truth? Retailers use simple slogans to sell us products. And the best teachers make complicated issues as simple as A, B, C. Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple Computers, said, "Simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean, to make it simple. But it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains." That's what Steve Jobs said. That describes 1 John. It's deep as the ocean, yet simple enough for anyone to read with benefit. Woo-wee! John didn't write in a linear way, so his book is hard to outline. But its circular style corresponds to the way we live and learn. John emphasized a number of subjects: love, light, knowledge, and life, and kept circling back to them throughout the letter. He presents Jesus as the Son of God who came in the flesh. Those who reject him are heretics, antichrists, and liars. Those who receive him are children of the light with assurance of everlasting life. It's as simple as that and as certain. So that's why when people say, well, I don't believe in the Bible, and what about other religions? And what about this? And what about other faiths? This, that, and the other. I say, they're wrong and the Bible is right. It's that simple. Well, how can you say that? Because God said that. Well, how is that even possible? Because you have to understand prophecy. Well, it could be anything. Well, no, mathematically, that's not possible for all those prophecies to be fulfilled. Well, blah, 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 this. Well, how did they know? How did this Bible, how did this book that you think is not real, how did this thing get it right thousands of years ago? and it's still valid today. How do you debunk the Bible when one of our number one things to prove something happened is eyewitnesses? You can't. Which is why I'll challenge every atheist and every agnostic and everybody who does not have a relationship with Christ, watch A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Just watch the movie. It'll change your life. And I actually shared something to Eli this morning that was really funny. I read it to him. I'd like to read it to you guys right now. It says this. Hold on. I'll try to find it here. Here we go. Imagine, and this is why I always laugh, in, you know, internally, not at them, but like atheists and people who don't believe in God, because they get so triggered when you talk about God, right? And I found this thing. It said, imagine this. Imagine getting so upset at someone for claiming the God that you don't believe in said in the book that you don't read that unless you repent of the sin that you don't care about, you will go to a place that you don't think exists. Imagine getting so triggered by all of that. And that right there should be your proof that everybody has knowledge, conscience. Con means with. Science means knowledge. You are born with knowledge, so you have no excuse. Think about that. You're born with knowledge, so you have no excuse. So all those people say, what about those people that don't hear of the Bible? What about all those faraway lands and those people that have never been exposed to Christianity? That's okay, because God has written his commandments on your heart. You do not need someone to teach you not to kill another human being. You instinctively have that knowledge at birth. You don't need God or Jesus or somebody to bring the, you do need God and Jesus. But what I'm saying is you don't need me to bring you the words of God and Jesus to have you know that it's not okay to make somebody sad and disrespect your mom and dad and murder somebody and steal from somebody. That is something you inherently know. It's not something you're taught. What you're taught is racism. What you're taught is hate. What you're taught is bigotry. What you're taught is not to believe what you are inherently born with. That's what you're taught. Just so we're clear. The purpose of 1 John is stated at the end of the letter. Quote, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Again, that deep, but that simple. That deep, but that simple. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. And in that 5 minutes, do I have a video here from Frank Turek? I do. Now, this atheist, or I should say, he's more of a doubting agnostic. Let's call him that. Asks Frank Turek just basically about how he could be right. Like he says, I want to believe in Jesus. And I think Frank answers this a very beautiful way. And he shows the gentleman love by giving him something. I think this is a good video. Let's watch it now.
Tonight, because I really, really, really would love to believe in Jesus. Okay. And to be a Christian, because I mean, I think it, you know, I recognize that it adds value to people's lives. Mm-hmm. But nothing tonight has really convinced me that my position is one, the one of faith, and that yours is, I guess, the one that's not of faith.
What do you mean by that, Braden?
Yeah, it's just all the stuff you mentioned, you make very interesting philosophical points. But none of it is, like, concrete. It's like, that's a fallacy. You know, this cannot be true if this is false. That's a fallacy. It just, nothing really added up mathematically that's like, oh, yeah, for sure. So, I don't know.
Do you believe in the law of cause and effect?
I don't know that I do.
Well, newsflash, if we don't believe in the law of cause and effect, we can't know anything. Okay. That's how we know that anything exists. Right now, if I don't believe in cause and effect, I don't even know you're there.
Okay.
Right? This could all be a mirage. We could be in the Matrix.
I don't think we are.
Who are you?
I'm Brayden. See, it's just, you've asked all these rhetorical questions. Uh-huh. Every time somebody says, hey, you know, we don't know this, it's like, let me ask you a question.
Yes, of course.
Is that an argument? Is a question...
I mean, what I'm trying to draw out of you
understand.
Is...
Of course it is.
...what you believe and why. So this goes back to Socrates. He would ask questions. It goes back to Jesus as well. Always ask questions try and uncover the assumption behind what you're saying.
That's right.
So if I'm asking you if you believe in cause and effect, and if you don't, then there's no way anybody can show you anything's true. Except self-evident truths, like
so what's
laws
the
laws
of
logic.
And the effect in this situation?
What's that?
What's the cause and the effect in this
the
situation?
The universe is the effect.
Okay.
The cause is something outside the universe. Design is the effect. The cause is a designer.
So your argument is that the universe to have existed must have had a creator. If in all of your other points...
And it has to have a creator and a sustainer right now.
If in all of your other points are for why the Christian God... was that creator?
I haven't gotten there yet, though. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time tonight.
Okay.
Because we had people lying up here asking
all right.
stupid questions.
Well, I told you I would like to be a Christian. I really would. But I do appreciate...
Well, Aiden, if I gave you a book, would you read it?
Sure, I'd love to read it.
All right. Brayden, not Aiden.
Brayden, yes. Brayden. Thank
okay.
you for getting that right.
If you would go out to that book table and tell them there that Frank said... You can have any book on that book table. You just take the one you want. Either I don't have enough faith to be an atheist or stealing from God, but you have to read it.
I definitely will. That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Hey, thanks, man.
Do it. Thanks.
Now, that was beautiful. And you want to know about why that was beautiful? Because Frank didn't take it too far. He didn't ruin it from there. The young man was seeking. The young man was looking. The young man said, right out of his own mouth, I want to be a Christian. I really do. But I need the answers to this, that, and the other. 100% correct. It's the same way I came to Christ. I asked more questions to the same person over and over and over again, week after week, month after month. They probably got so sick of me. But I needed the truth. I needed answers. And if I wasn't 100% satisfied with the answer that I got, it made me ask more questions. And do you want to know who finally ended up answering all my questions? Jesus. Jesus answered every question that I ever had. People pointed me in the direction of the seeking. They planted seeds when I asked them questions. They didn't fulfill my desires of needing to know the answer. The answer comes from God when He reveals it to you. God says, come to me, seek me, and you will find. And I will give you great and many things that you don't know. I will reveal those things to you. So when you ask, like that young man was, that's the way to do it. Sooner or later, he'll find love. I want to thank you guys today. I knew this was going to be a good show. Let's end with a little bit of love with these beautiful Christian church songs that we sing. Thank you for all of the encouragement and the inspiring words that you guys gave me and my family about our move. We appreciate you. And ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, Mike Crispy, Unafraid. And then 2 hours of Live from America. I'll see you then, because He lives. God bless you guys. Have a great morning. See you later.